It's a blessing to see the house full. I had seen and visited with a brother. We had quite a few of our congregation traveling in the last couple weeks overseas, different places. And it's a blessing to see the house full again tonight. And the Abundant Life Fellowship, we welcome you here. We're blessed to have you and fellowshipping and worshiping with us this evening. Thank you for that prayer, Brother Arlen. We sang that last song. It was a new one for me. We sang that song that we bow in this holy place. I had to think, are we truly bowing in this holy place? We can sing those words, but there is a condition in our hearts that really truly need to be in place before we really truly bow. And that is part of the message that God has laid on my heart this evening, is a condition. And what we're going to be looking at is the parable of the sower and the parable of the soils. And it's a time of the year that we think about soils a lot, or I do as a farmer. My days gone by. You prepare a soil. You put a lot of effort into your soils and to prepare for this seed that you're ready to plant. So at this time of the year, I often think about the parable of the sower and how true that concept is, or that parable is in our lives. So I'm going to share with you a little bit as we gather here that we would draw our picture in our minds of different soil types, different conditions of soils. And at the end, we want to look into our heart's condition and not just the earthly soil, but God would want us to look deeper than this earthly soil tonight. And so when I bought the farm, Miriam and I, we were young, 24 years old, and we had a lot of ambition, a lot of goals, a lot of desire to raise a family. I only had one child at that time when we bought the farm. And I looked at the layout of the land, and I liked it. I actually did. First time I seen it, I knew it was for sale. I visualized how I'd like to change the looks of this place. And it actually became what I was desiring, you know, a pasture here, barn here, and and there was a desire in my heart to change this place. But little did I know what all it would take. I didn't look at the rocks that were in the field. There was rocks in the field this big and some small. And the soil condition was very poor. Father-in-law was getting older, and he was studying in soils more. And the soils of that farm, when he seen the soil test results the first time, he just shook his head. And I, as a 24-year-old, looked at him, and I'm like, maybe I made a mistake. God's looking at you today. He sees hope in you tonight. Now, the Lord would want you to not be so despaired that you think there's no hope for me, because there is. This soil was depleted from a lot of things, and I had to start from the bottom up with that farm. Pretty well, there was rocks to deal with. LaJuan and I and the boys, we picked up a lot of rocks over the years by hand. I learned that if you take a pitchfork, you can pitch them on instead of bending them over. And we had rock piles. But slowly, the fields had less and less rocks. And to this day, there's not a lot of rocks out there. Thankful to someone who picked them up. So this evening, we want to look at soil types, and it is a serious thing in the eyes of God that we all understand that we're all vessels that need to be redeemed. We are a people that need the soil condition in our heart to the right place where He can put His Word in there, the seed, the Word of God, and it will produce fruit. And so that is what we'll do. We had this farm that had some washouts when the soil is depleted of organic matter that binds things together, like your wheat chaff or your straw, your hay roots, corn roots, all that binds your soil together, and it will not wash down the hill. When I bought that farm, there was ruts deep enough that I couldn't drive my tractor through. And we had to hire a guy in with a backhoe, and we had rocks big enough that we dug out with a backhoe so that we wouldn't hit them every year as we farmed. And then we also had to take that same backhoe and cover up the ruts, pack them down, and start from there. So God is also finding a people group that has a poor condition, a heart that is not really ready to receive the Word of God. I don't know where everyone's at tonight, here tonight, but God wants you to show you one thing tonight, and that is that He would like your field. He would like to buy your field, your heart. And there is only one thing you can do. You can either resist it or give it to him. My fields, when I took over my fields, there was no resistance. The weeds were resisting me, sure. And there was a lot of challenging times, disc blades breaking because of all the rocks and things. But that was the farm that we bought. And I want to share with you that it changed slowly. This big dream of having fertile fields, that the first few years when I would plow, I would loosen up the soil that way. Then we found out that no-tilling would do better. And the first years that I planted no-till, I could not get my planter in the ground going over some of the hills. I put tractor weights on the back, trying to press this in, a hard hill. And the last couple years when we farmed it and we worked it and we used it, we had to actually lift up the disc over some of our spots in the farm because it would sink down into the ground so deep. And this is what a man told me one time. I'm going to switch and go to the Bible. But a man told me early on, and I was looking for answers to farm this hard soil and how to get this to where I want it to go. And an older gentleman came by and I said, what can I do to get this soil in a loose condition where it can grow things like I see some of these other farms? I said, is there any hope? He smiled and he said, keep it busy. And I was shocked. Keep it busy. How can you keep soils busy? He said, always keep something growing in it and always keep it busy. And you know what? That's where God wants us to look in our own hearts tonight. Keep it busy with the Word of God. Till it. Let God work with you. Let God be able to minister to you and keep it busy. Keep your faith. And we're going to share, go into Matthew 13. That's where the parable of the sower is found. And I'm not going to read the first part where Jesus shared the parable. He shared the parable early on in 13, but the disciples were at a place where they did not understand what this parable did mean at that time. So we'll begin the reading in chapter 13, verse 18. And read to verse 23. He said, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Now Jesus, he knew all the thoughts of his disciples. He understood that they did not understand what he taught. So he had a desire that they would get this. And that's his heart's desire for us tonight. That we would get this. It's an important parable. So he explained it to his disciples. He began explaining it here in verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. Now just imagine you would be going out scattering seed and you would be going down through the yard here and there is a gravel parking lot there. And we know without a doubt that the seed that falls into that condition of the driveway will not produce fruit. And that is a person who is hard-hearted and not able, God's word is not able to come and minister to him. And so that is what he's saying there. Then in verse 20, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and with joy received it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a little while. And when temptation and tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, and by he is offended. Now, when you farm, you know that if the soil is not worked too loosely, if it is all clumpy and cloddy, I am blessed to have a few farmers in the congregation. We actually sat down together and we visited about farming, and it was good. It was good for me to sit down with some of you farmers and talk about farming. But when the soil is cloddy and it's not, it's worked up some, and stones are mixed in with this, there is not enough. The seed will sprout, maybe just a little bit, but it can't really grow because of too much airspace. And matter of fact, airspace is a hindrance to the growth of a seed. In the same way, it is when we're too loose with our Christian walk of life. If we're too loose with our Christian, if it's not something that we take dearly and something that we will want to do, and we take care of those air spots in our lives, those faulty places, which I find myself sometimes. That is kind of like a cloddy soil. It will produce a little bit here and there. There might be a stalk raised up here and one over here, but it won't be the best. We'll keep reading. And in 22, chapter 13 of Matthew, verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. There's another condition. If the thorns and the weeds and the grass, things that choke away the seed, we all know and been taught many things. But this is a real factor. This is a real deal in the Christian walk of life. I've found it in my life. It can be workloads. It can be so many things. I want to choke out the word. But dealing with these things. And this is the verse 23 is the good soil. And my heart is tonight that God would give us some answers for our life tonight to know. You know, we often think about, I need to be more soft. I need to be more gentle. I need to be more broken. And a lot of times we want to get there, but I find myself powerless in getting to where the Lord would want me to be. So hopefully by the time this message is over, there will be some answers for us, because the Lord's word has answers, has directions, and has life-giving peace, joy, and all those rich blessings. And we'll read 23 of chapter 13. But he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 60 and 100 and wait a minute. Also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now right there is where I want to stop reading. This is the beginning of what God would like for us to have. A soil not where the planter can't go in and plant his seed. He would like for us to have a soil conditioned to the place where we are willing to receive. A soil when the planter goes in, that it can easily do its work in our lives. Brothers and sisters, I know you well enough, those of you that have been redeemed, that you desire that. That you desire to be planted with the Holy Spirit. You desire to be planted and filled with the love of God. But keep your fields busy, is what the older man said. If you have faith, exercise it. I'm going to share a little bit on the accounts. Many times when we did hay back in the day, we didn't have cab air-conditioned tractors like we have in our world today. But when we did hay, this was a real sweaty chaff, sneezing and sweat. And the horses were sweating, but so were the people. We helped put up loose hay. We helped bale small squares. And I remember the day when my dad and his hired hands, he would have one hired hand with him to farm the two farms that he was farming. And I, as a little boy, he would say, go in and get us some water. And I would sometimes linger by the way, brothers. I wasn't very faithful, probably. But by the time I get there, they were always ready for a drink. And I would be amazed of how they were all sweat dripping off their face. And they would take that jug and drink. It was a blue jug with a nipple. And they would drink out of that and gurgle, gurgle, and gurgle. And I was like, how can they drink that much? But you know what? They were thirsty. They had a need for what they wanted. There was a need in their lives. And that is what our problem is a lot of times in the evenings in our Christian walk of life. We don't see the need we have. I'm speaking about the ones redeemed and the ones unredeemed. The unredeemed ones will be called. The Lord is calling to you, repent. But the ones in our lives, the need is that we would exercise faith, that we would exercise in what we believe and have confidence in the Word of God and His promises. And so tonight, may we exercise that. It cultivates our heart. It gets us soft. When you see the Lord do a work in your life and you see a miracle that He did in your day in the last week and how the time all held out, don't say, oh, that was luck. Say, God, thank you. I needed that. Just to reaffirm me that you're there for me. Say those words to Him. Pray those words to Him. And He will comfort your heart. If you begin walking the Lord in such a way, He will let you go deeper and deeper. And the planter can deep more, trust you with more of His seed and more of His word. And fulfill you. And you will bear much fruit. It's not that you planted them there yourself. It's just that you became willing and ready to receive that word. Tonight again, I want to warn you, there are some of you in here that are sitting there and thinking, God, I should repent. I should repent. I should not be that hard. The word is here tonight. It is just as clear as it ever was. And I'm going to share with you the main part of the message is coming out of the Exodus 12, if we want to go there. Exodus 12 and 15. Actually, I have my marker in there. Try not to be scattered. I sometimes have a message and lose my markers, and it takes away from what the Lord has for us. Here we got an account, and I wanted to share with us that God's desire for worship is real. He would desire that we worship Him. And as we read through this portion of Scripture that I have here, we can see, hopefully, more clearly of true worship, true godly worship. And so we will begin here. They were the children of Israel. They were slaves. We do realize that we heard of Israel this morning. Merv had a lesson and an opening on Israel. And this was now the same Israel's 12 sons and their children's children, or however many generations, that were in a captivity. They found themselves over in Egypt, slaves. I think it was 400 years. I don't know for sure if I'm right. I think it is. And now it was time for their deliverance. And there was Moses. He had grown up among themselves and became at first a very strong leader. He thought he would kill one of the Egyptians and take care of the problem with his own strength. But God did a miracle in Moses' life, and he became one of the strong leaders because he became one of the most humblest men. And God started visiting with Moses, telling Moses what he wants his children to do. And Moses was faithful in sharing the message to God's children. Here they were. They had all the plagues that were gone, like we had heard through Solly. I think he was sharing some of the plagues today. Here the plagues were all gone, and there was yet one plague beginning to come to pass. The Israelite slaves, they had seen all these plagues. They had seen that when God said that there would be hail, there was hail. When there was darkness, there was darkness. See, God was not speaking a lot. He spoke to Abraham, but back there was not they didn't have the Bible. Let's begin with that. They were beginning to see when God speaks that it comes to pass. I think that's a lot of our problems tonight, that we hear God's word spoken, but we really don't believe that it's going to come to pass. But tonight, brothers and sisters, the more I grow in the Lord, the more I realize that the end times are being fulfilled just like Revelation speaks about, and the time's coming close to where there'll be a judgment. Just as the Israelites, they had judgment, or they had a deliverance coming in front of them. So tonight I will begin the reading here. I have an example in verse 12, beginning in verse 18. No, that's probably not the right one. Got my paper upside down. Sorry. Exodus 12, 21. Okay, God had spoken to Moses prior to this. He had told Moses to tell the children of Israel what to do. And now here in verse 21, Moses is before the people, the elders of Israel, and said unto them, draw out and take your lamb according to as to your families and kill the Passover. And you should take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in blood, and that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts, which the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. Now just listen, the children of Israel, they were listening when Moses said something. They had heard that when he said something that God's going to do, that he was going to do it. And they were in a condition where they were ready to hear. That's a lot of times what the problem is with the hard soil. The condition's not there to hear. But tonight, God would like for us to have a revival in our hearts, and that we would be open to hear every word and the counsel of God. That's God's heart. And it came to pass. Now, wait a minute. I got off a sidetrack here. He was telling them in verse 22 that they should take hyssop and do the door post of the house. And in 23, the people were listening. For the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians. Now when the Israelite slaves heard this, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your house to smite your firstborn or to you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye be come into the land which the Lord gave you, according as he has promised, that ye shall keep this service, and it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean by this service? Then ye shall say, it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the house of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head and worshipped. Okay. When they said that, you know, Moses was telling the people that if they don't have that blood over the doorpost of their heart, there's no hope for them. The destroyer will come in and destroy one of you. And does any one of you out there know if any of the Israelite families forgot to put the blood on the doorpost? I haven't read that in Scripture. Is every one of them were listening? But tonight, it's sad to say, there are some of the people that just go through life and they do not listen to that call. But all the Israelites, they were conditioned to the place where they were listening for that call. And you know what they did? They worshiped. Now, this is the definition of worship. I heard it in a leadership discipleship, men's discipleship class. One of the ministry down there shared with us the word worship started with the word worth and ship. And the definition of ship I looked up is the state of and the condition of and the quality of being. Do you see the Israelites? They were in a condition to hear the word of God. They were in a condition because of all the circumstances that went through their life. And tonight, that is why they obeyed. They were ready to worth the word of God. And tonight, there's some of us sitting in here, and some of us maybe in my own life. I don't know where the Lord's going to speak yet in my own life. But all the counsel of God is worth having. And that is my burden on the heart tonight, that Lord put on our hearts, that we would take the counsel of God and worth it, receiving it into our hearts, and therefore producing fruit out of that. A lot of times we think that we need to just do better. I had a brother, we had a good conversation after our prayer yesterday morning. It just came to the place where we were talking about, there was another brother that had some married children. And we were speaking about how some of the neighbors and some of the people, they just all together in a big tight clump, almost in the same house, and things don't go well. I just said, that shouldn't be with the Christian. And because the Word of God says that we are to leave our children go in a marriage. You know, after they're married, they leave the home, and they're out of our area. I was just blessed by the brother's response. He shook his head, yeah, you're right, and it is. See, the counsel of God, there is a way for us to walk through this. Is that word of God, that very thing there, is it worthwhile? Is it something we worship? And I want to read 28 here. The children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Now that is true worship tonight. True worship is if we take the word of God as it's worth something. And a condition, it is ship means condition. It doesn't mean a ship out on the water. Same way with fellowship. You can be with a person in the same car, and you don't have fellowship because you're not on the same page, because there's something between the two of you. But if the conditions are right, you can have a fellowship, and you can share your hearts one with another, and you can have a blessed time. It is a condition. And I'm going to end with this. The Israelites heeded to God's call. Are we as a congregation, are we as a people of God, heeding to that call? They were whipped. They were in bondage. They were whipped in a place where they seen that their whippings were getting harder. As the years, the 400 years rolled around, they had to make more bricks every day. Or not every day, but they put more and more stress on the slaves. And I want to share with you, when I was living the life of sin, that is the very thing that sin did to me. The longer I lived in it, the more slave to it I got, the more or less power I had. That is a life of sin, brothers and sisters. Most of you in here realize that. Tonight, I want to share with you, if you're heading that way, please heed and worship God. How do you do it? You take His word. I let it plant into your heart, one seed at a time. Every planter that I see, they drop one seed at a time. Well, not all. No, I probably shouldn't say that. But a field is planted. not just boom and it's planted. It takes time. Allow God to begin working in your life. So tonight, I'm speaking to all of us. Let's exercise the field that we have. And let's exercise and let God use us in a way that He may have never used us before. Mothers teaching the little children, holding the babies in their hands. God's word, if you hold it dear to your heart, it's worth praying for the baby. That's worship. Changing diapers or whatever all. Heeding to their little needs. Crying babies. Don't get discouraged. You're raising a next generation of God's people. Sow the seed. Teach the child. You know, there's parents and times of parenting. We didn't have a lot of children. But there's times of parenting where my wife and I would just get together and say, how we address this problem? Or how do we work this thing out in our midst? And go to prayer. Or we sign help. And to be honest with you, we had many prayers answered. Was it worthwhile going to God with our needs? Yes. Exercise. Let your field become soft. Let God fill you with life and the word. And you will have joy abundantly. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's worth it. Brothers and sisters, the unconverted, it is worth it. There was a time in my life that I look at a Christian and think, what a boring life. They sing and they go to church. But fellowship, we didn't have fellowship. We went to our parties and we went to our places. Tried to get some fulfillment out of these things. But Monday mornings, it was not very easy to get out of bed. There was no fulfillment there that I remember. Well, some probably a little bit. But I just want to warn us that the gospel call was for the Israelites. If they don't have the blood stripe over the top of their doors and over the side posts, which is the blood of Jesus Christ, by the way. If you don't allow His teachings, if you don't allow His forgiveness and His cleansing and His spirit into your hearts, because you'd rather stay away from it, you will be lost just as much as the Egypt army was lost. The burden on my heart tonight is no desire for any one of us that anyone would be lost. There was a time that we thought that if we would just hear more of an English teaching, our children would follow God. But you know what? It takes more than that. It takes more than just English preaching where you understand it. It needs to be a heart that is ready to open and receive it and say, yes, Lord, I'm coming home tonight. I want to be yours tonight. From here forth, all the seeds that I want in my heart is your seed, not the weeds. English preaching won't do it. It takes the Spirit of God to pick on you. And if He's picking on your heart tonight and a sin that you have done, your mom and dads understand it. They know, and they've been there. It's your choice. I'm going to have to close, but the time is half an hour closer to your eternity than it was when I started. God bless you, and I hope that you receive courage and strength to go on in the Christian walk of life. It's not an easy road, but it's a joyous road. I really appreciated the fellowship we had yesterday and last Sunday and this Sunday. And thankful to become part of this congregation or of Allen County in the last year and a half that we have moved here. I feel we're just growing closer to the community here, beginning to know more of the people. And so I have shared what the Lord had on my heart. And if God is working with you tonight, little children, older men, women, don't be afraid. It's the love of God that is convicting your hearts.